The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nathan Cones with Carroll Broadcasting and Charles Vandenberg with the Penn City Current. Nathan, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
As always, appreciate you having me on. Appreciate you taking the time to take questions from us small town folks here. But one of my first questions here is the Biden administration is kind of actively in recent days avoided the word recession, even though it's kind of been on the forefront of everyone's minds, at least nationwide anyway. So what are you hearing from constituents on the recession? Because the title or the word itself is kind of irrelevant as Americans kind of feel that struggle. So what are you hearing from constituents? And then, you know, what is your idea for the best path forward out?
Okay. I'm hearing from Iowans they aren't afraid to use the word recession. I would think that we might be in a recession, and I would say I go by the what we generally call a recession, two quarters of negative growth. I don't think it's going to be a deep recession, and I don't hear from Iowans generally about it, except small business people tend to use the word more than anybody else. And I think that it's fair to say that this administration doesn't want to use it because it's embarrassing to them to say that this administration got us into a recession. And I think that at my 99 county meetings, families are very concerned about the failures of the Biden administration, and they see it directly connected to the policies of this administration, particularly their energy policies. I think about 50% of the 9-point increase in inflation is directly related to their failed energy policies that have driven gasoline up to historical highs. And particularly, I'll give you one example, and then I'll go to Charles. One example is a contractor that ships fresh fruits and vegetables around the country. His prices went up 7.5%, and he said 6 percentage points of that 7.5% is related to the increase in diesel. So you see these energy policies ripple through the economy, and it isn't just related to the increase of gasoline. Charles.
Yeah, on an issue that's important to to Southeast Iowa, more than 20 counties have filed objections in opposition to the Iowa or with the Iowa Utilities Board regarding the proposed carbon capture pipelines. Can you talk about the pros and cons of that? And as a farmer, what are your thoughts on capturing that land through eminent domain?
Well, I can't talk about it much because it's entirely state law, state decision making. But I can tell you this, it has come up at my county meetings and it's very controversial. And I think that the people that want to establish this need to do a better job of communicating directly with the landowners and saying, and I think the people that think it's beneficial need to be more proactive in expressing it. But there's no decisions to be made by Congress of the United States or the federal government. It's up to the state legislature, and our laws have been passed for a long time, so it's up to the utility commission to make the final decisions to go ahead.
Quick follow-up on that.
Oh, yeah.
Do any of those pipelines go through your property at all?
Not through my property, but I do have a pipeline through my property, but it's been there probably for 50 years. It's a natural gas pipeline.
Okay. All right.
Nathan?
Yeah, I wanted to shift focus a little bit to the ongoing Ukraine-Russia conflict. It's kind of fallen out of the national spotlight, at least in the media anyway. But according to the Department of Defense, the U.S. has provided $4.6 billion in security assistance to Ukraine since the invasion got underway. And as you just, that number is kind of astronomical, at least to me anyway. So what justification is there for such large sales support overseas to a conflict that the U.S. is even involved with as Americans hurt here kind of at home?
Okay. You have to think in terms of the fact that if Putin would not stop in Ukraine, that he would go into Eastern Europe, that would immediately trigger Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and it would obligate the United States and every other country to defend against Russia, and what we're spending in Ukraine right now to stop Putin from taking over Ukraine, which then raises the questions, when's he going to stop? Because he wants to reestablish the old Soviet Union and its influence where it was since World War II. And what we're spending in Ukraine would be almost nothing compared to what it would stop American taxpayers, English, French, German taxpayers to defend Europe again. So I think, but also you got to remember, much of this assistance have gone to restocking our own defense, and then also some additional money for more troops being in Europe, more American troops in Europe, and then a lot of money for humanitarian assistance to the people that have migrated out of Ukraine, mostly women and children. Then the rest of it to the defense of Ukraine. Charles?
Can we go to the America Rescue Plan Act funding? What's your impression of how that federal stimulus to counties, specifically Iowa, have been handled or allocated?
Well, first of all, I voted against the American Rescue Plan. That was the bill that Democratic economists told the new Democratic Congress a year ago that you should not pass more money, you're going to feed the fires of inflation. And nobody, none of the leadership of the Democrat new Congress listened to them. And so that's why we have inflation where it is today. Some of it goes for direct aid to cities and states. Some of it goes for additional help to fight the virus. Some of it goes directly to the schools. And I think for Iowa, most of the Iowa funding is decided by the governor how that should be divided up. Okay, back to Nathan.
I want to follow up on Charles's question there, looking at ARPA funds. So originally it was intended for those things that you're talking about, recovering from the economic downturn, but they've kind of opened the allowable uses for those funds, at least in the community I live in now. They're going to be using a portion of ARPA funds to do a housing incentive program, which seems completely unrelated anything to COVID. So there's a timeline on the money, on when the money can be spent, and they continue to open it up further and further, and it's losing the original intent. Is there any way you can kind of keep that money focused back on where it was supposed to be spent?
Yeah, from time to time, we're spending money on some new project or a policy in the United States, and sometimes we try to offset that money by taking money that's not being COVID-related or is unspent and reallocating it, but we haven't been successful in doing that. But first of all, if any of this money is going to be spent, they're going to have to point to a point in the law that will allow it to be spent for that purpose. So if it's something that's not being spent, my policy is Americans deserve transparency to make sure that the taxpayers' money isn't being lost to fraud or being misspent in any other way. And that's what congressional oversight's all about. And I would expect I'm not on the Appropriations Committee, but I would expect the members of the Appropriations Committee to ride herd on that money to make sure it's spent in an appropriate legal way. Charles, you'll have the last question.
You've called a hearing today on the tax on police. Can you give us a brief peek at what you're going to say today at those hearings?
Yeah.
I know there was a release out about it, but I'm a little interested in, 15 minutes before that hearing starts, where you're at.
First of all, I have an Iowan from Cedar Falls, a law enforcement person by the name of Zach Anderson, who was present at the murder of Sergeant Smith, Grundy Center, that was murdered a year ago. And that's not the only reason we're having the hearing, but I'm glad to have an Iowan come and testify. And I think we're after a couple things. One, to bring attention to a bill that I've introduced that would gather more statistics on gang shooting of policemen. But the overriding purpose of this hearing is to highlight the lack of morale of policemen for their profession. What I learned in Davenport when I met with law enforcement people a couple months ago, that it's difficult to recruit, that morale's down, retention is difficult, people are retiring, and there's a lack, there's just not enough people applying for these jobs. And law enforcement is weak as a result of it. And that's got something to do with the big increase in crime rates that we have. Thank you all very much for participating.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Nathan and Charles, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.